driving. How we doing? 4:02 on this Wednesday morning. McMonagle here with you on The Fan on the day of Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals. The first time we've been able to say that since the year 2000, 25 years ago, a quarter century ago. Today is the day. Today is game day. We are ready. As we look forward to this game, we look forward to the matchup, we look forward to this Knick team that we have fallen in love with all over again. The different version than the team last year that we've been weighing against, that we've been deciding which one we like better or which one was more capable of winning a championship. And quite honestly, going up against an opponent that we all felt last year's team would have beaten. But this year's team has conquered its own giants as they took down the Boston Celtics in the conference semifinals. Game number 6 was an absolute party, and since that night, since Friday night, we've been waiting for this moment. We've been celebrating, but we've been waiting. And tonight is now the beginning of a series that the Knicks have to go win. Let's be honest. Right? We all know how good the Pacers are. We all know how talented they are. Now, we all know how well-coached they are. Carlisle, one of the best coaches in the NBA. We know they have a superstar of their own. In Haliburton, who's been much maligned, who's been voted the most overrated player in the NBA, and who's taken that personal, to quote the great Michael Jordan, he's taken it personally, and he's come out and had an incredible series, and they took down the best team in the East all year long in the Cavaliers, and they did it in 5 games. So yeah, they were compromised. I don't give a damn. They beat the Cleveland Cavaliers in 5 games and have played extremely good basketball. They roll 8 or 9 to 10 deep. They're going to throw a lot at the Knicks. They're fast. They're going to look to keep the Knicks on the run. They're going to look to make transition offense. There's going to be a very difficult challenge ahead of the New York Knicks starting tonight, but we all know they're capable of winning this series. If they're capable of beating Boston, they're capable of anything. And right now, this team with Jalen Brunson, Mr. Clutch, the best closer in the NBA, the superstar we've been waiting for, the point guard we've been waiting for, the guy who consistently gets it done in the biggest moments, is up for another legacy series. This is where heroes are born. The Knicks have their first real path to an NBA championship in 26 years. And even then, do we know Ewing? Did we think we could beat the Spurs that year in 99? Like, it's been that long since we've even felt like the Knicks were capable of this. And this is a team that we all know they're capable of beating. They're capable of losing to, but they are capable of winning. This is not going to take some superhuman effort. It's not going to take, as tough as it's going to be, and as well as they're going to have to play, we don't go into it feeling the same way we did against the Boston Celtics. This is a series they can win. This is a series that is going to be a devastating loss if they're unable to accomplish it. This is a series we expect them to win. They're favored to win. Home court advantage starting tonight, Madison Square Garden. And Karl-Anthony Towns and Mikal Bridges, the two difference. As we see the guys we sent away lose game one, but play a nice half, especially Randall, in Minnesota. As we remember the team with great fondness of last year and how much we loved it, it was broken up by Karl-Anthony Towns and Mikal Bridges, and they have each had their signature moments. They've each had their impact on getting to this moment. Whether it's defense, whether it's shot making in the fourth quarter, whether it's signature moments of stealing the ball as the time expired and not allowing the Celtics to get shots off to even attempt to beat the Knicks late in games, or Karl-Anthony Towns and the way he showed up in the first half specifically of Game 6 as they blew out the Boston Celtics and led to a three-quarter party of just coming to terms with the idea of getting back to the first Eastern Conference Finals in all these years. Each of them will have to play their role in doing what now needs to be done. Like, that's how I come away feeling. It was, how can they figure out a way to beat Boston? What miracle is it going to take? It's going to take two come from 20 points down in Boston in game one and two. That's the miracle it took. They were able to do that in the first two games. That's where the series was won. They had a really great offensive second half in game number four, and then without Tatum in game number six, absolutely dominated the Boston Celtics. This one won't take a miracle. This one, they're capable of winning. This one, if they play their best basketball, they should win this series. And we'll see what they have to do. We'll see once we get into it, the kind of nature of the series. We'll find it out in game one. We'll see how Tibbs, much maligned head coach, who we've loved, him and Leon Rose have turned around a franchise that has seemed, I mean, and have done a job with this franchise that very few have. Hall of Famers, guys who've won 10, 11 championships. Phil Jackson couldn't turn this team around. Larry Brown couldn't turn this team around. It was forever. And Leon Rose in just a few short years, and Jalen Brunson in just a few short years, and Thibodeau in just a few short years, has this team back to an Eastern Conference Finals, a favorite in the series, and a feeling like there is nothing that the Knicks can't overcome on their way to their first NBA championship since 1973. So this is as exciting as it gets. I can't wait for the game tonight. I can't wait to be back with you tomorrow after the game, break it all down, and get ready to really get involved in what should be a very difficult, a very hard-fought, a very physical, a very fast, right? That's the thing that jumps out to me, right? They roll so many deep. They're going to try and run on the Knicks. They're going to try and, you know, have a lot of, they're going to try and fast break. They're going to try and push it to the Knicks because they know they're not as deep. They know that it's going to be tougher for them rolling, you know, seven, really. We'll see if the Knicks expand their bench. We'll see how many minutes Achiuwa gets. We'll see how many minutes Campaign gets. We'll see if Shamet gets into the series. Obviously, we know Deuce and Mitch will play in the series. Like, but how much does Tibbs adjust to that? Because they're going to look to run. We saw it last year. We know how this team plays. That's their biggest advantage over the Knicks. And we're going to see who shows up. And this is the kind of series, again, for a great player like Jalen Brunson, who we've all fallen in love with, King of New York, the whole nine. He's deserved every accolade we've thrown at him. This is where heroes are made. This is another legacy series after the Boston series. Now they roll into a different type of series against a team that they honestly should have beaten last year if they didn't get devastated by injuries. And this is a series now the Knicks have to win. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. Let's go to Ralph in Long Beach. What's up, Ralph? Ralph, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, I'm here.
Oh, what's up, buddy?
Yeah, I just getting ready to go out and get my tea and coffee, but I'm so psyched. I'm taking kids to the watch party, and this is better than me. And it's, what a, I just got to stop O'Connell. I don't like that guy coming in and getting those minutes.
No, listen, they got to stop. They got to stop Haliburton. They got to stop Siakam, who killed him last year. O'Connell was, you know, really impactful in that series last year. They're a good team.
Spike Lee. I mean, Reggie Miller. I can't stand him. I hope he's announced in a couple of games.
He is.
I know. And the thing is, I'm on a new phone. Right when the next one, I crack my phone. I lose my ATM card. Things are cracking. And then I put on the Knicks shirt. And I said, it doesn't matter. I'm going to the championship. If I crack my phone, this is the best thing that's happened in a long time. And C-Mac, that was a beautiful little monologue you gave. It was terrific. It was poetic. It was feeling all the joy that we have and all the rise that we went through and the downfalls. And you, that was really inspired me. And I was like, I'll ride the bike and get my coffee and think about at 8
o'clock. There you go. Enjoy the coffee, Ralph. I appreciate it. Thank you for the call. Enjoy the coffee on the day of the Eastern Conference Finals. It goes down a little sweeter. You need a little less sugar in it today. Let's go to Duncan in Newark. What's up, Duncan?
What's going on, Big Mac?
What's going on?
I got to start off by apologizing to you. Okay, we're going to start off with an apology.
Okay,
I'm apologizing because I don't usually call back-to-back because I want to give you time to recover from being dominated. All right? Please accept my apology.
So
the next place I'm going, you know what I'm saying, is they could have Tyrese Haliburton. They could raise the Iron Curtain. They could not know because they're uncertain. It don't matter. Knicks and six. All right?
All right.
So that's the second jewel I'm dropping on you.
Okay, you got it.
third jewel I'm dropping on you is having a deep bench is one of the most overrated things in playoff sports. Because the further you go down your bench, the worse the players get. So if they want to have 11, 12, they want to play the 15th man on the bench, they want to get Halliburton's father to come out and put on a uniform, it doesn't matter. They get worse and worse. As you go. So as long as the Knicks get back, if they beat the Knicks down the floor, if they, you know, they the Pacers like to run.
Yeah.
So if we score and then they you know, the Knicks don't get back and there's a transition bucket, there's nothing we can do. It doesn't matter. They can all make it. NBA players can all lay up. But if the Knicks get back, those same 10th, 11th, 12th players on the bench have to run that offense. So I want them to play, you know, 8, 9, 10 men deep. Go ahead and do that. And then they have to now, they got to defend and they have to play offense. So, you know, that's overrated, the whole deep bench thing.
Yeah, I mean, I understand your point. The reason, you know, I don't know if I'd say overrated is because they're going to be able to push it with, you know, like it's hard to run at their pace and keep up with their pace when you're only playing seven. That's the issue. Like, we talk about transition defense the legs. And what scares me is you're trying to keep up with them. The legs get weak. Suddenly the threes fall short. You get those long rebounds and it leads to transition buckets. Like, I'm just like that is an issue. It is an issue. I understand what you're saying. The talent gets weaker and some of the matchups will get better for the Knicks. You're absolutely right. Karl Anthony Towns. And Brunson and even OG Anunoby and some of the role players. And that's the other thing too, like role players, bench players typically play better at home than they do on the road. And that's an advantage with the Knicks having the extra game in this building. So, that's another even reason why you could say the bench is overrated, because you expect them to play better in their building. And there are more games on at Madison Square Garden. But like that, the fear is they're able to roll out quality players. Like their 10 is better than the Knicks 10. And
they can run.
Well, you don't agree?
No, absolutely. You look at I do not agree. You look at the Pacers' talent gets really thin after six. I'm not an NBA fan. I'm a Knicks fan, so I don't know the Pacers players by name. But their first guy off the bench. He's a good player. He can shoot the three. He's a decent defender. Then you got T.J. McConnell. T.J. McConnell is just an irritant. He's not really an NBA player. He can pester you, but he can 100% be defended. You know, like he's not a player that's gonna.
Be defended? I mean, when we're talking about like
No, I'm talking about T.J. McConnell.
I understand that, but I'm comparing the benches is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. I see what you're doing. Okay. Now, Campaign, he's not a – he's played one game.
I understand that, but I'm saying –
So like, can he be defended? Absolutely. Absolutely he can be defended.
Right.
Campaign is there to give Brunson a blow. Like, he's not going to do anything. When you think about buckets off the Knicks bench, you're looking at McBride, and that's pretty much it. Like he's your only scorer off the bench. If he's not hitting his three, he can give you some good defensive minutes. But other than that, you know what I'm saying? Mitch isn't going to do anything offensively. Pick and roll.
No, I
you know
agree.
What I'm saying?
I don't think there's my point. I understand your point, and thank you for the call. And I welcome a third consecutive night of being dominated. Call me tomorrow night. Although, you know, I embarrassed you last night, Duncan. Come on. But they have obviously we all know Toppin. Brian played well in the final game, 9 points plus four in the game. Like they have. They roll deep. They're more consistently, you know, they're more consistently on the floor. They have more to give. Like, I'm not saying it's a dynamic second unit necessarily. You're right. The talent level continues to get watered down the more you play. But the idea is they'll be fresher and they'll be able to run. And the Knicks, who don't play as many, who play all the minutes that they played, and the minutes will become a question again if fourth quarters or transition defense or the end of games don't look the way we want them to look. The minute police are waiting with bated breath, even though they took a big L in the first couple series of this playoffs. Like, that's going to be a question. You can't just dismiss the idea that they consistently play with more guys and that the bench doesn't mean anything in the playoffs. Like, I disagree with you. It doesn't mean as much if Brunson and Kat go off. Yeah, I'm not going to complain about the ninth guy off the bench for the Pacers. But they're going to try and push the basketball. They're going to try and run the Knicks into the ground, and it's easier to do that when you are rolling out more guys and have fresher legs. Now we'll see if it makes an impact. The Knicks have got to be better on transition defense. Mikal Bridges plays a ton of minutes and plays great defense, and so far this playoffs, without exception, the Knicks have been the better team in the fourth quarter. They've looked fresher. They've made better mental decisions. Their legs have been stronger. They've shot better. Like, they've been the best team in every one of these games, maybe outside of, I don't even know, game five. It wasn't even worth discussing. A couple games against the Pistons, not even. Like, the Knicks have been the best team in the fourth quarter in almost all these games exclusively, and that's going to be in question if this is going to be an up and down the court constantly kind of game. They've got to try to slow the game down. That's part of the Knicks' game plan here. They have to slow the game down. They want to get into their half-court offense. They want to get into their sets. I think early on you want to feed Karl-Anthony Towns the ball. I think they are a completely different team. I was talking with Ian Begley about it. They are a completely different team when Karl-Anthony Towns has got it going offensively. So I want to do that. I want to get into that. I don't want to play their game. Their game is up and down the court. I want to slow things down. I want to get into the paint. I want to get to the foul line. I want to slow the game down. And I do think the idea that they have as many guys as they can throw at you, that's why they want to speed the game up, because they'll have fresher legs and they don't have to play as many minutes. Let's get to Brandon in Wappingers. What's up, Brandon?
Hey, what's going on, Chris?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm super excited for this. 32 years old. I don't remember 99, 2000, that time frame. So this is super exciting. The first thing the Knicks got to do is they got to put last year out of their minds. You guys have kind of talked about it, but you can overcome one injury, but not three or four. They were up 2-0. Mitchell went down in game one. They didn't have Randall. OG went down with the leg. And who had to step up? It was Dante, who was our sixth man off the bench for the entire year, and he scored 20-plus the first three games because he started. Well, we don't have that. This year, we have Kat, we have Mikal. So when you look at the series this year, obviously it's a much different team for the Knicks, but the Pacers are very similar to what they were last year. They have the same starting five. Mm-hmm. Their bench is slightly different, but we know what they're going to do, right? How they're going to play. And their bench is better than Knicks. I think the last caller was trying to talk about the guy off the bench. Benedict Mathurin is his name. Mm-hmm. He plays a lot of minutes off the bench for the Pacers, and he's a good shooter. But when you break down the series, the Pacers are great at two things. It's passing and scoring, specifically in the transition, which you've already said. So the Knicks have to watch that transition three, because we saw it in the Celtics series where every time White came up and Brown came up, they were hitting these wide open threes in transition.
Yep.
And the Knicks, they rebound much better, right? So the whole, I guess the point I'm getting to, my final point, is in order for the Knicks to win this series, whether it's in five, six, seven, it's the confidence and with Karl-Anthony Towns, right? Because we didn't have him last year. Isaiah Hartenstein obviously is not the offensive scorer that he is. Right. And the confidence that he played with in game six, the closeout game, if we get that for the most of this series, yep, we already know what Brunson's going to do. We already know everybody else's game. The Knicks are going to win this series. And that is the most important factor in the series, not just the transition D, but Karl-Anthony Towns. Is he coming to play? Is he going to show up? for this series. And if he shows up, the Knicks are going to the finals. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, buddy. I don't disagree with you. I think Karl Anthony Towns, I mean, to me, we always have to talk Brunson and legacy because your star player is your star player. And they're going to need him to be there at the end of game situations. There's no doubt. And they might even need him to carry a game or two. We'll see. But I don't disagree with you. Karl Anthony Towns and how he plays the game and whether or not he's the guy from game six or the guy who's disappeared at times. And I think the disappeared, I know people throw it out there, and even I occasionally let it slip out of my mouth. I just did. I think disappear is a little bit unfair. There was a game or two maybe against the Pistons where I really felt like he wasn't involved. I thought they tried to get him involved in almost every game against the Celtics. They were just games he couldn't finish at the rim. I don't know. Like, he was just soft around the rim. I think soft was the better term than disappeared. But people like to throw disappeared. Like, how many plays did we see him, like, go to the basket, either miss the shot or not even get a shot off attempt, lay on the floor with his, you know, hands spread looking for a foul while the Celtics are running the other way? Like, that was, it wasn't so much like I didn't see him. I saw him, and he couldn't finish around the rim no matter what he did, even with guys like Holiday on him. And then game six, he came out with an abandon, was able to finish and get to the rim and score the lead the offense the way he needs to. So, yeah, I agree with you. If they can get him involved and he's scoring the basket, he's getting to the foul line, he's getting to the rim, he's finishing at the rim, even gets a little bit of his swag through his three-point shooting, which clearly all year long he was their most efficient three-point shooter. I'd love to get him a couple more looks than he got in the Boston series from behind the arc. Like, yeah, I think that is, as it's transition defense and slowing the Pacers down and Karl Anthony Towns being a force offensively are probably the two biggest keys to this series. But before we get into the series game by game, I'm forced to just think about Brunson a little bit, who he is to this team, what he represents in this organization, and the idea that he is the face of this run they're on, and how this whole thing in the NBA is built on superstars. And he's going to have, I mean, we could talk about matchups till we're blue in the face. There's going to be a point where it's Halliburton or it's Brunson. Like, that's going to happen. Karl Anthony Towns, huge. Mikal Bridges' defense and his transition defense, OG Anunoby and his transition defense, going to be huge, no doubt. Mitch Robinson getting rebounds to preventing transition defense and giving the Knicks second chance points, going to be huge. But at some point, it's going to come down to Brunson and Halliburton. You just get that feeling. And this is a legacy series. It continues to, every step of the way is legacy, to the point where you're going to talk about Jalen Brunson being a legend here. So I don't disagree. It is Karl Anthony Towns and the transition defense. Those are the two things that jump out at you stylistically, and what, you know, the matchups you're really looking for the Knicks to take advantage of with Karl Anthony Towns, and the advantage the Pacers have that you're looking to limit transition offense. But you know what it's going to come down to at some point. Late in the game, fourth quarter, 5 minutes left, tied at 92, tied at 97, Halliburton or Brunson? 888-808-1019. Quick break. More of your Nick calls as we take you for the rest of the way until 5 a.m. in the warm-up show. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We'll be right back. All right, McMonagle here with you, 432-888-808-1019. We did talk a little bit about the Mets and their struggling offense, as they've now lost four out of the last five and lost last night 2-0 to Boston. The offensive struggles still continue, not just for Juan Soto, which they do still continue, but the entire Mets offense, which is now the third worst team in baseball with their with runners in scoring position. Buehler gets eliminated early in the game, in the third inning, gets thrown out arguing balls and strikes, and they allow a cavalcade of relievers to come in and shut them down. So, I mean, the offense still struggles, but we are focused on the Eastern Conference Finals, despite all the Soto talk, despite the offense from the Mets. Yankees with a win too, but tonight is all about the New York Knicks. All about game number one and the Indiana Pacers. And revenge from last year, Revenge from 1995. Revenge from 2000. Revenge from the finger roll that I ran into my house just in time to see off a Summer League baseball game. 888-808-1019. Revenge of Rick Smits and that disgusting Pacers team in the 90s. Reggie Miller on the call. I saw Reggie Miller do a thing where he's out in the streets of New York. It was actually kind of funny. He was just sitting in New York, like, I guess it was Central. I don't know where he was. He was on, like, the water or something. He was just sitting there wondering how many people would come up to him. And it was, like, mostly positive to start. But eventually, listen, Reggie Miller's the enemy. There's no doubt about it. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls again as we take you for the next half hour until 5 o'clock as we get ready for this Wednesday and game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. Brett in Long Island. What's up, Brett?
The call screener sounds like he's 15. Get his ID checked. Chris, it's moments like these that make me feel like such a proud, loyal Knicks fan, unlike most of them on my 11 online social media groups who wanted the coach fired, didn't like the trade, you know, on and on, and most of the listeners. But, Chris, I can't get the image out of my head from last year, Game 7 at the Garden, Obi Toppin's grin. They were high-fiving. All our players are limping off the court. We were hurt. They're up by 30. They started playing all their bench. I will not get that in my head. I hate that team as much as I hated the Reggie Miller Pacers. But I'm going to tell you this. If you want to start talking strategy and all that, you know, we're not going to change. And if you think we are, then you don't know basketball, okay? Because we play our guys 44 minutes, 51 minutes. So they're going to obviously get a little tired or lazy on the defensive side. Carl Anthony Towns is a 7-footer who's not fast. He's slow. He's lumbery. So when he's out there, watch for it. He's terrible on the switch. He's lazy on defense. And that's why there's always those carnival three shots, you know, the ones when you're at the carnival. You know, trying to win your kid a stuffed animal and you got like 5 seconds to set up and shoot. That's what it looks like. They have all day to shoot. And if we don't figure out how to defend that, it's not going to change. That is just going to be that kind of game. They're going to score 100. Now, Chris, I want your prediction so we can use this against you. You know how I do it. What's going to happen in this? And then what happens? Who's going to win the other side? And then what? Give me the whole run through.
The whole run thing isn't fun. No. I think it's going to be...
No, I think OKC is going to win in, like, five, and I think the Knicks are going to win in six.
I said Knicks and then, my prediction for this series is Knicks in six, and I agree with you, it'll be OKC, but I'm not going to give you the NBA Finals. No, why? Let's get to that series. What fun would
that
be?
Why can't you commit to something? You do a radio show, but yet...
I'll commit to it when I commit to it.
Why?
Why would I jump into it now, Brett? Because you asked me to?
It's when fun that series... to do it ahead of time.
No, it's not. When that series...
You do it with your friends. You know that. Everybody does this.
When that series starts, and if they get through... to quote the great Boomer Esiason, I don't want to touch the money. Let's get through this series, and then I will predict the NBA Finals.
He's not so great. He's washed up and old now, but go ahead.
Okay, yeah. Thanks, Brett. This series... I'm saying Knicks in six. That's my prediction for the series. Knicks in six.
But you want to talk strategy, Chris. It's again, when you play 11 players, watch the box score. They'll have 20 minutes, 18 minutes. We play five and then usually two. And the two gets 15, 20. That's Robinson. And that the problem with that, yeah, I get it. We got all our best players grinding. But watch today, ready? No one ever talked about this, not even you. What happens is when guys are playing 44 minutes, what happens? They get four fouls, right? That makes sense. 44 minutes, five fouls. Then by the fourth quarter, they can't be as aggressive because they got four or five fouls already. The other team's got guys that played 20 minutes, so they're aggressive. That's the problem I have with not playing a bench.
Yeah.
Right? You're not spreading out the minutes.
Yeah. No, you can get into foul trouble where you can take fouls and different kind of fouls with your bench guys. You can play Hakeem Mitch with your bench and things like that. I'm interested to see how they're going to do it. Thanks for the call, Brett. That's fair. And listen, I don't disagree with you. I don't expect Tibbs to open up his bench. I really don't. I'm talking about that matchup, but I don't expect Tibbs to do that. I mean, we'll see maybe a little bit more if he feels it, but I don't know. They are who they are. I agree with you. They're not changing. They're not changing. He's going to play his guys. He's not going to suddenly open up his bench just to match the Pacers. I totally agree. And you're right. Part of another advantage of having a team that rolls that deep is you're able to spread the fouls around. I get you. But yeah, I mean, look, it's also the fear of the war of attrition that they lost last year, because nobody believes they honestly lost to the Pacers. There's no way to know that, right? It feels like they didn't. They lost because everybody went down. Because Hart went down, because OG Anunoby pulled a hamstring, because of then the hand injury to Brunson eventually. Like, they couldn't hang. They had nobody left by the end of it. And so that's the fear. The fear is now they've played this long season. They won 51 games. They play all these minutes. They went through these really hard-fought series. The Pistons series was extremely hard-fought. They came out and played smothering defense. Then you have to go and slay the dragon that is the Boston Celtics. That just takes something out of you, even if it only went six, even if game six was a little bit of a laugher and they were able to roll out the bench eventually. I mean, Tibbs doesn't even want to play the bench up 30 points with 6 minutes left. I mean, he's not going to want to play the bench in this game. I totally agree with you. We are not going to see a dramatic shift in minutes or how many guys play. I wouldn't expect Shamet to get 20 minutes in this game. I get it. But it is an issue. And I don't think we can dismiss it. It's one of the advantages they have for several reasons. One you just brought up, Brett. Others is they're able to run and spread the minutes and try and play that fast-paced game the entire game. The Knicks aren't going to be able to keep up. They're going to have to try and slow things down. But yeah, I agree with you. Tibbs is not going to suddenly change what he does. Eric and Ronkonkoma, what's up, Eric?
Yeah, hey, C, man. Good morning. It's not off.
Good morning.
Follow Brett.
Yes.
But,
well, it was actually a relatively easy laid-back, Brett.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised it threw me off a little bit because I lost my train of thought for a second that fact. But you know what? And I'm actually going to even almost touch on something that he mentioned. But you know, the end of that last series, I guess, was so impactful that we even lost the great Norm from Cheers. Yeah, he was so upset apparently. Yeah.
I saw that. Rest in peace. Yeah, and I also happened to see an interview. He's what's his name's uncle? Why am I losing the name? Ted Lasso. Why am I losing the actor's name?
Oh yes, I did see
Jason
that.
Jason Sudeikis.
Yes.
He's actually Jason Sudeikis's uncle. He was. I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah, I actually read that myself this morning. I wasn't aware of that either.
But Cheers was just a little bit before my time. I've obviously seen it. I've seen a bunch of the episodes. But it was
one of only three people to be in every episode. So.
Norm was one of what was the other one? The mailman.
Sam and Carla. Those are the only three to be in every.
Sam
episode.
And Carla. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So just a little tidbit there, but you know what? But here's the thing. Now I'm curious. You know, now basketball's not my strong suit when it comes to my fandom. I do watch the Knicks. You know, just for being local, and I was big into them. You know, years ago when. You know, in the 90s and everything, but you know, I would be a little worried. I wouldn't say worried, but maybe in the back of my mind that they might be a little complacent coming off of such a big series with the Celtics that no one gave them a chance to win, and you know, the fact that they're favored in this series, where everybody really seems to be on the bandwagon thinking they're going to win five or six. You know, that they might come out flat because, I mean, we have seen them be a little flat sometimes with their defense playing the game. So, I mean, I don't know. Does that concern you at all? Or
yeah, them coming out flat? Yeah, of course it concerns me. We have seen, and what scares me the most about their, you know, coming out flat is dealing with prosperity. Like, if they win game one, I'm going to be nervous about how they come out and handle game two, because every time, for the most part, every time that the other team needs the game more than the Knicks, they've had a tough time matching the effort. That has been the one thing about this team that has bothered me the most. Like X's and O's, bad games, OG Anunoby's offense, Karl Anthony Towns disappearing or not being able to finish at the rim, the inability to make a damn shot from Mikal Bridges. Like, there's been a lot of on-the-floor issues that I've had with how the team has played throughout these two series. But to me, the biggest problem I've had with this team is their inability to match the effort when the other team needs it more than them. Like, not even close in a lot of the cases. So, yeah, like, if they win game one tonight, I'm going to be concerned about, I think, Friday night. I think I'm going to be concerned whether or not they can match the Pacers' effort on Friday when the Pacers are going to come out knowing, you know, they don't want to fall behind 2-0. So, like,
right. I mean,
I'm not so worried about tonight.
You could,
good.
I was just going to say, because you could argue that they had probably just as a very similar series against Cleveland. You know, and both those teams ended up being banged up, Cleveland and Boston. You know, a lot of people probably didn't give Indiana, as you know, a chance of winning that series.
And thank you for the call. No, heading in, they didn't. And to be fair, as compromised as they were, and they didn't play as many minutes, but I Mobley was back. Mobley played 37 minutes in that game, in the final game of that series, Game 5. Garland played 33 minutes. Hunter was back, played 30 minutes. So, like, they were back to kind of full strength in that final game, and the Pacers didn't need, you know, they matched the effort of a Cleveland team who desperately needed it. They matched the effort right away in Game 5. They had an opportunity to close out the series. They took it. The Knicks haven't been able to do that. The Knicks didn't do it against the Pistons. The Knicks didn't do it against the Celtics. Ultimately, they gave the effort they needed, and certainly Game 6 against the Celtics was their crowning achievement in effort. They came out and just decided they were going to dominate the basketball game. But what we have seen from this team, the thing that concerns me most as far as like who they are, more than necessarily bad play or an off-night shooting or what we're seeing X's and O's-wise, their inability to match the effort of their opponent when their opponent is desperate. When they need the game more than the Knicks have been unable to fool themselves into thinking they need it just as badly. We, the fans, were very much, oh, need game three. Winner of game three is going to win the series. Can't lose this game. Can't let the Celtics off the deck. Got to win game three. The Knicks did not treat it the way the fan base did. And then the same thing in game five. Come out there, I was saying it, don't let them think they can win without Tatum. Come out there and just take it from the jump. They've wilted in the fourth quarter. They'll wilt in the second quarter if you take it to them tough and you make them think this thing is over. And that effort in Boston for Game 5 was terrible. But when they needed it, they've gotten it. Hopefully they can manage to just give it every night in now the Eastern Conference Finals. 888-808-1019, quick break. Rapid fire style. When we come back, we take you all the way to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. All right, just a few more minutes. McMonagle here with you on The Fan on this Wednesday morning, leading you into the warm-up show on the rest of your day as we get ready for Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals, your New York Knicks against the Indiana Pacers. Revenge from last year. Revenge from the year 2000. Revenge for the finger roll. And hopefully what is going to become a, you know, really... After all that, after all the nostalgia, which I'm having a tough time getting over, I don't know. It's been 25 years. And it takes me back to a time where my Knicks fandom was surpassed by nothing else in my life. I mean, the Knicks were, I talk about it a lot. I mean, you go back to elementary school for me, like everyone was, the Knicks were it. Like the only team. Like it wasn't just they were your favorite team. They were the only team. Like, no one really cared that much about baseball. The two football teams were non-existent, it felt like. It was all about the Knicks, every May. You know, I can think of, like, the end of the school year, weather getting nice, Knicks playoff runs. That was it. So, to have it back and to be in a position now where it really feels like, for the first time forever, they have a legitimate path to the NBA championship, and it starts tonight, game number one. So looking forward to it. I know you guys are too. We've been taking your calls over the last 3 hours on it, and I'll be back with you 2 a.m. assuming the weather holds up for the Yankees, 2 a.m. to break it all down with you tomorrow. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Danny and Clifton. What's up, Danny?
Hey, good morning, Chris. Good Knicks morning, in six, possibly. I'm Knicks good, I'm good. Possibly five. Possibly five.
Well, I mean, two possibly points. Four, possibly seven. Who knows?
No. I'm talking like, you know, I'm not trying to talk from just being a silly fan, but I think that what I'm seeing here is 2 points. You're giving You know, Indiana, way too much credit for running 10 players out there. If it were, if they were that dang on good, they'd won 70 games. I mean, ultimately, they won 50 games. So
50
you
games
made a
isn't
point
enough
before.
To sneeze at, and they beat the Cleveland Cavaliers, who won 64.
Listen, totally agree. And as we beat Boston, and I get it. I know we lost Tatum,
agreed.
But Tatum wasn't going to win that game.
I'm picking them in six myself. So it's not like I'm just saying that's one. We got to admit that they're a good team, and they have something. They have some advantages,
yeah.
And that's one of them to me. It's not the be all end all. Otherwise, I'd pick them. But
yeah.
It's something the Knicks have to worry about.
That depth on the bench, I don't put as high because, quite frankly, you made the point yourself, and so did one of the other callers. Once you get to play a 6 and 7, it drops off. T.J. McConnell's nice, funny, you know, but he's like campaign. He's a periphery player, okay? So I don't have that guy is going to be the reason why they're going to beat anybody because, you know, quite frankly, when you're facing a team like the Knicks that runs a hard 5 deep and probably goes to 7, possibly 8, they'll have more quality over the quantity, especially when these playoffs come, and that's what it's all about. It's about the strategy and the matchups. Second point. You said it not even 10 minutes ago. Last year you had Mitch Robinson not there, Julius yeah. Randle not there. Replaced with Karl Towns this year, of course. You had OG Anunoby who went on a heater, I think, in game 3 and tore yeah. a hamstring.
Yep.
You lost Josh. You lost Brunson. You had a depleted team. You don't have that this year. You got a coach who learned from basically burning his team out. You don't have that this year. So for those reasons, you know, this same Knicks team is facing the exact same Pacers team, but it's a better Knicks team.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't, and thank you for the call. I don't disagree with any of that. Clearly, you know, they were up 2-0. They would have had a good chance to win that series if they didn't just completely fall apart. I think we all understand that. And, you know, but they're better too. They've had another year. This is a building process. Just because the team hasn't changed doesn't mean they're the exact same team. Next year's Knick team won't change either. We're hoping it's going to be better. Like I'm just the core of the team, at least the starters. I wouldn't expect to change necessarily. Like you can grow and get better. You can't just look at it simply as, hey, this was the last year's team. And again, do we know this Knick team is better? I mean, I'd like to think so. What they just accomplished against the Boston Celtics is something I've never seen the Knicks accomplish. Even the 90s teams never won a series against that team they couldn't beat. And really, there was only one, the Jordan Bulls. And they couldn't beat them. You knew they couldn't beat them. Everyone told you they couldn't beat them. And then they never beat them. And this series against the Celtics, you knew they couldn't beat them. Everyone told you you couldn't beat them. Nobody, you know, we all waited for them to lose, and instead they beat them. So, and I do think this team is more talented, and I do think this team is more capable of winning an NBA championship than last year's team. But we can't just look back and say, hey, that, you know, they would have won last year if it wasn't for injuries. Yes, but the Pacers are different too. And we can't just dismiss, like, be careful. Be careful. I know we're all pumped. I can tell already in the phone calls I'm getting in this first show, getting ready for the game tonight, this lead-in show. I can tell already, Knick fans don't think this is going to be a problem already. I know I'm picking them too. I think they're going to win the series, but this is going to be hard to pull off. They have to play their best game. Don't just dismiss the advantages. Don't dismiss the idea they're going to be able to run. Don't dismiss the idea of how good this team was offensively all year. The Pacers score a ton of points. Halliburton has answered every question about him. He's had game-winning shots. He's had big fourth-quarter performances. He's done what he's needed to do to get to this point. So have the Pacers. They're extremely well-coached. They are going to be a problem. It's not a problem the Knicks can't overcome. This is a winnable series. Agreed. But let's not dismiss this Pacers team and look ahead to Oklahoma City. Like, this is going to be a very difficult series to win. And the Pacers do have distinct advantages that they are going to try to take advantage of in this series, and the Knicks have to make sure they come out with the intensity they came out with in game 6 every single game. Don't dismiss this series. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for calling. That's it for us. Nico on the other side, I appreciate you, brother. Everybody, enjoy the rest of your day. The warm-up show is next. Enjoy the Knick preview all day long. We wake up in a brand new world, a world we haven't seen in 25 years, a world where the Knicks are playing in the Eastern Conference Finals. It starts tonight. Again, I'll catch you after the game. I'll catch you after the Yankee game, 2 a.m. We'll break it all down. Enjoy the rest of your day. Go Knicks!